You know, it's funny, emotional intelligence, right? It used to be this kind of niche thing, but now everyone's talking about it, especially it seems like for men. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. It's like all of a sudden we're realizing that there's, well, more to strength than just like the whole tough guy act, you know?
Exactly. And it's about time. It really feels like we're finally acknowledging that being a man in today's world means being in touch with, well, your whole self.
It's definitely a shift. Like the world's gotten pretty complex, right? And to deal with all that with relationships, work, everything, you kind of need emotional intelligence
Absolutely. You can't
to.
just like muscle your way through everything anymore. And that actually is what made me think this book was so interesting. Heart of a Warrior by, let me get his name right, Orion Windsor.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it.
And I thought the title itself was really interesting, right? Heart of a Warrior. It's
Yeah.
like it's challenging that whole traditional idea of what it means to be, well, a warrior.
What'd you think of the book's take on all this? Well, one thing that really stood out to me was how much it talked about vulnerability. Like, that's a big deal, right? Because for so long, men have been told to just, you know, bottle it up, don't show any
Oh,
weakness.
tell me about it. I mean, how many times have we heard that growing up? Boys don't cry.
It's practically a mantra, right? But this book, this Windsor, he's like, no, vulnerability isn't weakness. It's actually like the key to connecting with people authentically.
I love that. So how does he actually like back that up? Because it's one thing to say it,
He
but
gives examples, real stories. There's this one guy, John, I think, and he had this like really tough relationship with his dad, and they just never talked about, you know, the hard stuff. But after reading the book, John, he finally like opened up to his dad, and it totally transformed their relationship.
wow. So it's about like putting it into practice, actually changing how we interact with the people we care about.
Exactly. And there's another example, Mike, who really struggled with expressing his feelings to his partner. Always felt awkward, you know. But after reading Windsor's book, he found the courage to actually say, hey, this is how I'm feeling. And it totally deepened their connection.
See, that's what I mean about it not just being some self-help book. It's like it's about changing the whole game, the whole view of what it means to be a man.
Totally. And it all starts with like really getting to know your own emotions. That's where emotional awareness comes in.
Yes, that's where I felt like the book really clicked for me too. Because it's not just about going, oh, I'm angry. It's about understanding why.
Right. Like, what's actually driving that anger? What's the deeper story there?
So it's about connecting the dots between like what happened to you in the past, your thoughts, and how you react emotionally in the present.
Yeah. Like, he gives this example. Let me see if I can remember it right. It's about how something small, like, say, you get a really short email from a coworker and it just sets you off. But for someone else, it wouldn't even be a blip on the radar.
I've totally been there, by the way.
Right. So the book is saying, well, maybe that reaction is because of something in your past. Like maybe you had a boss who always made you feel small, or you were constantly being criticized as a kid. So now even that email, it triggers that whole feeling of being, I don't know, not good enough.
Okay, so instead of just saying, oh, I'm so angry, it's more like, I'm feeling angry because this is making me feel like I did back when.
Exactly. And once you have that awareness, that's when you can actually start to like change how you respond to those feelings instead of
Yeah.
just reacting, you know?
Right. So it's like the foundation for everything, really. If you want to be better at communicating, if you want stronger relationships.
Totally. And speaking of communication, I thought the book had some really practical advice, like that section on I
Oh,
statements.
yeah. I found that really helpful.
It's so simple, but it's amazing how much of a difference it can make. Like instead of saying, you always do this, which just makes the another person defensive. You say, I feel hurt when you.
You're taking ownership of your own feelings. And
Exactly.
wasn't there something in the book about like how we communicate with our body language too? I remember something about an emotion wheel.
Oh, yeah, the emotion wheel. That's a good one. It's like this tool to help you figure out what you're really feeling because, let's face it, sometimes it's hard to put those feelings into words.
It's like you're saying, okay, instead of just being like lost in all these feelings, you can actually sort of map them out.
Exactly. It gives you a language for your emotions, which then like paves the way for better communication. And when you can communicate clearly about how you're feeling, well, that's the foundation of any strong relationship, you know?
100%. Although, of course, it's not like communication solves everything. There's a lot more to emotional intelligence than just that.
Oh, for sure.
And actually, I thought the book did a really good job of like laying out some of those other aspects, like what was that one chapter? Managing stress, I think it was.
Yeah.
What did you think of that section?
It was great. really practical, you know, because we all deal with stress. It's just part of life. But this book, it went beyond those like generic tips.
Right, like just breathe.
Exactly. Like, okay, sure, but how? And Windsor, he actually gave some concrete techniques. Like there were those breathing exercises. And mindfulness, that whole thing about paying attention to the present moment.
Right, right. Like not dwelling on the past or freaking out about the future.
Yeah. And he also talked about finding hobbies, like things you actually enjoy doing just for the pure fun of it, which honestly, I needed to hear that.
Sometimes you forget.
Totally. It's easy to get so caught up in the daily grind that you forget to like actually enjoy yourself.
And I think he also made a good point about knowing when to ask for help. Like, sometimes managing stress means admitting you can't do it all on your own.
100%. And that's huge, right? Because there's still this idea that like asking for help is a sign of weakness. Yeah. But the book is like, no, it actually takes a lot of strength to admit you need support.
It all comes back to that vulnerability thing, doesn't it?
It really does. Which, speaking of vulnerability, there was another chapter that I thought was super interesting. Even though, I'll be honest, I was a little skeptical at first. The whole thing about healing your inner child.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you about that one. Mm. Because I have to admit, when I first saw that title, I was like, I'm not sure about this.
Right. Sounds a little out there. But hear me out, because once you get past the kind of new agey language,
yeah,
it's actually really insightful. Basically, the idea is that a lot of the ways we react to things as adults, the patterns we fall into, they actually stem from our childhoods.
Okay. So like if you had a rough childhood, you might still be carrying around those wounds. Even if you don't realize it.
Exactly. Like maybe you experienced some kind of trauma or neglect or even just like subtle things. Like maybe your parents weren't very emotionally available or they were really critical and all that stuff. It can leave a mark, you know?
So then you end up like repeating those same patterns in your adult relationships.
Exactly. And it can affect everything. Your self-esteem, your decision making, the way you handle conflict, all of it.
So what's the solution? Like, how do you actually go about healing those old wounds?
Well, the book talks about how it's not about blaming your parents or anything like that. It's more about, like, understanding how those early experiences shaped you.
So you can finally, like, break free from those patterns.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that just because you had a certain experience, it doesn't have to define you.
It's like you're finally able to say, okay, that was then, this is now. I can actually choose a different way of being.
Exactly. You're not doomed to repeat those same patterns forever.
It's really powerful stuff. And it makes me think about, well, how all this plays out in the real world, you know? Like, we're living in this crazy time, right? With technology everywhere, social media constantly vying for our attention.
Oh, tell me about it.
It's like, how do we even begin to apply these ideas about emotional intelligence when the world feels so, I don't know, chaotic? Did the book touch on that at all?
It did. There's actually a whole chapter on technology and social media.
Oh, there is. Okay, what's the verdict? Are we all doomed?
Not exactly. I mean, he talks about how it's not all bad, obviously. Like, technology connects us with people, gives us access to information, all that good stuff.
Right, right.
But then there's the flip side. Like, all that information overload, that constant pressure to present this perfect image online.
Oof, don't even get me started on that.
It's a lot, you know? It's easy to get sucked into comparing yourself to everyone else, feeling like you're not good enough.
Oh, it's that whole, what is it? Comparison is the thief of joy, except now it's like 1,000 times worse.
Right, because it's not just your neighbor or your coworker anymore. It's like the entire world.
Exactly. And it's not even real life half the time. It's all curated and filtered. And so what do we do about it?
Well, the book talks a lot about setting boundaries, like actually making conscious choices about how you use technology.
Okay, so like putting your phone down every once in a while.
Mm, exactly. Like maybe you have certain times of day when you don't check social media, or you make it a point to spend time doing things that have nothing to do with screens.
Going for a walk, reading a book, actually talking to another human being face to face.
Yes, all of that. It's about being more mindful, more intentional about how you spend your time and energy.
It's about reclaiming your attention, really.
Exactly.
Wow. You know, this whole conversation has been incredibly eye-opening. It's like this book, Heart of a Warrior, it's not just about understanding your emotions. It's about like navigating the world as a more emotionally intelligent human being.
And that's what I love about it. It's not just theory. It's like, here's some actual tools you can use.
Right. It's a roadmap for, well, for life in the 21st century, really. And I think that's something we could all use a little more of these days.
I agree.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's like one thing you hope our listeners will take away from this conversation?
I think the biggest takeaway is that it's never too late to start working on your emotional intelligence.
I love that.
Like, wherever you're at on your journey, there's always room to grow, and it's a journey worth taking.
It really is. Well, on that note, I think we'll leave it there. But for everyone listening, I want you to think about this. What's one small step you can take today to connect more deeply with yourself, with the people around you, or even just with the world around you? Because emotional intelligence, it's not some mystical thing. It's something we can all cultivate starting right now. This has been an amazing deep dive into Heart of a Warrior. Until next time, keep exploring, keep growing, and keep embracing the power of emotional intelligence in your own life.